could be the last ever talking talkie. Ryan, how are you feeling?
Oh, sad times.
Emotional?
It's even worse than a relegation.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's probably a good enough time for the music. It's the one you've been waiting for, the last talking talkie of the season. The curtains have been drawn on our time in the National League, but have they been drawn on the podcast? And here with me, as ever, the man to my left, Ryan Darby.
Hello.
Good to have you, Ryan.
Good to be here.
I'm going
to
spike up that music again for one last time.
Just let it play out.
Yeah? I mean, there's another minute left of this. Of the kind of royalty-free guitar.
Okay, maybe kill it in a bit.
I'm gonna ease it down. Torquay United saw out a dreadful season with a 1-1 draw with a playoff-chasing Ebbsfleet, or playoff-getting Ebbsfleet, I should say. Connors scoring for Ebbsfleet, and Rhys Healy, a man who's ludicrously too good for Torquay United, scoring our goal. All cards on the table. I wasn't at the game in the weekend, but you were, Mr. Darby. How was the atmosphere to start with? How was it feeling at Playmore?
It was a weird one, to say the least. The crowd in the end was very respectful, thanks to no part a large Ebbsfleet following who were very good, must be said. Just before kickoff, although the crowd in the end was good, they really took their time to come into the ground, and for building up to the game, it really looked like there was going to be a low crowd, sort of around the 1,000 mark, but it turns out that wasn't the case.
Well, I know me and you went to that game earlier in the season, that FA Trophy game, and I had about 800 in there. I was thinking something like that might be on the cards, but
it did look like that could be the case, but I guess people really came in right at the last minute.
A pre-kickoff, Luke Young was named Player of the Year, and Dowling was given Young Player of the Year. Are they two decisions you agree with from the Yellow Army?
I think so. No major surprises for me. I think Luke Young gets the majority of the vote before a ball's kicked anyway, because it's Luke Young. And you know how he's received among the fan base. Dowling was potentially an interesting one. I think maybe he'd done just enough in the first half of his loan spell at the club to stand out, maybe.
I'd have been tempted to have a look at Fete if it was me. Barnes has made an impact since he came in. Lemonhay Evans has probably happened a little bit late for him.
Yeah, I think if we'd seen a bit more of Lemonhay Evans maybe 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, I think he'd be in with a real shout. But I think Downing probably just done enough in sort of the first half of the season.
So the talkie started the game well, you're telling me, on the way here. A rare kind of nice start for us.
Yeah, they controlled the game really well. They just, as ever this season, it came in spells, and there was no end product on a few nice passes and a nice bit of control in the game. They just couldn't really create any meaningful chances in the final third, and then from that, Ebbsfleet kind of just grew into the game naturally as the day went on.
So who stood out for you? It's a dead rubber for Torquay United, so we won't dwell on the game too much. But did anyone emerge from that with a little bit more respect from a season that has been utterly dreadful for Torquay United fans?
I wouldn't say there was any sort of standout performances. It was just kind of a solid showing throughout, really. Rhys Healy, surprisingly surprised, he stood out like a sore thumb. His quality shone through in large spells of the game. Williams struggled on occasions, but did well to win the penalty in the second half. It was just a good performance. Nothing spectacular, but okay.
And Ours was pleased with the display after the match. He told Torquay United Media how pleased he was to match a playoff-chasing team, didn't he?
Yeah, he was quite pleased with the performance. I think especially after the midweek defeat that was so humbling, a performance like that kind of eases tensions a little bit, but he knows the reality of the job he's got on his hands this summer. He knows what he needs to do. He's fully aware of the position he's in.
Speaking of which, so we can't ignore the fan protests that were happening at Playmore on Sunday, Saturday weekend. And so there are a few banners up from the Torquay faithful. No passion, no pride, freehold on your mind. A clear indication as to what they think of the Clark Osborne tenure as owner. And then, of course, hours out banner at full time as a manager who hasn't ingratiated himself to the Torquay fans so far, but it looks like he will be a manager who will be in position next season.
Yeah, he's already planning for next season. As we know by the retained list, he's talking to players, potential signings. Plans are in place at the end of the day. I think as much as it has left fans disgruntled, there's a growing acceptance that that's the case.
I have to say I wholeheartedly disagree with ours getting quite. I mean, what the question I asked myself before I came in today was how bad would the team have had to have performed under Gary Ours for him to be given the boot at the end of the season? Because we've got to be quite close to that, is what I'm saying. Because when Mark Yates was appointed, it was Solihull, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they lifted up the table. And away from trouble, and they did. They're away from trouble, aren't they? Yeah. And under Gary Ours, that hasn't happened under us. And maybe he was dealt a poor hand. Maybe he didn't like the cut of a few of Nicholson's signings. But he signed a lot of players. He's been given a lot of budget, and for me, he hasn't delivered enough. I said. Probably, I think I said when I was resigned to relegation, probably about a month and a half ago, I said what Ours had to show me and the Torquay fans was a willingness and an indication of how the team should play football under his tenure next year. At least some brief glimpses of how he wants it to happen. For me, I don't think I've seen enough from him, but I'm a Torquay United fan. And if Gary Ours remains in position next season, I'm still going to back the club. That's me. I may disagree with it. I may have some doubts on whether he can be a man who can lead us to a title-winning, promotion-winning campaign at the first time of asking. Some severe doubts. But I'm a Torquay fan, and if he proves me wrong, then fair play to him.
To play devil's advocate, just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I entirely think what you're saying is fair and to a point correct.
Yeah.
I would say Ours is under no illusions to what's happened this season. He knows exactly the position the club are in, and he knows he's made mistakes. Whether it's taken him so long to admit that, it's up to the fans' discretion.
Mm.
I think the real problem for him this season has been consistency, and ultimately that's why we found ourselves in the position we're in. Because you can.
But is that down to management or is that down to players? Or
I don't know. I think there's a bit of both to it. But you only have to look at the last two fixtures where we've been humiliated by a relegated Guiseley on a Tuesday night in front of 1,000 fans, to then holding promotion chasing Ebbsfleet, who need to come to Playmore and get a point. And then turn up with a half decent performance. It's, I don't know what the underlying issue is, but consistency has been the killer.
Yeah. And part of that I do think comes down to management. The Torquay fans, whenever we've had a little jab at Ours before on this, we get messages saying, "Well, why are you having a go at the manager?" But we try and play it quite even-handedly here. And I do think Ours has modestly improved things and has was dealt a difficult hand and has tried to play it. Do I think he's got it all right? Not within a long shot. And as I said, my main concern now is that can I see him being the manager to lead us straight out of the National League South the right way at the first time of asking? I have to say no. But if he can prove me wrong on that, clearly, he's going to be given every advantage over the summer. He's going to be given that chance to implement what he wants. He'll have no excuses now. That's it for the Nicholson's players are here excuse. So it's down to him now, and if he can prove me and a lot of the rest of the Yellow Army wrong, then fair play. But he's starting on a negative for some fans, I'd say.
Yeah, and it all comes down to summer recruitment, because I do think there's an element of the team he's had this season through transfers and injuries and whatnot. I think there is an element of round circles in square pegs, whatever. I'll get it out in a minute.
That's nice, yeah.
But when he goes into the next season, he's going to have his own squad. So like you said, there are no excuses. I do think that has to be taken into consideration at a higher level than what it is being, what it has been done this season. And I know it,
but yeah, the other fans' criticism is that he's brought in something like 22 players this season, and he still hasn't. So he still hasn't got a team together that he deems to be his team. So he's got something wrong in recruitment there. But is that just the difference between recruiting during the season versus recruiting off season?
Yeah, I think it is. And you're never gonna sign a world beater in the middle of January on loan for 2 months. You're signing
unless Neil Warnock does you a favour.
Exactly. You're signing out of form, maybe out of fitness, players that aren't getting a look in at their clubs, and they're coming here trying to win a contract.
Yeah, you're right. You don't sign strikers who score goals during January, do you? Because they'll be scoring goals for their parent club.
Exactly. The only bright spark in the transfer really has been like Reece Healy, like you said, who's coming in the middle of March.
And literally, because Neil Warnock was doing us a favour, I'd say.
Exactly.
He could have had numerous Football League clubs after him, and he's come to a club right down the bottom of the National League.
And he's now our joint top goal scorer,
which is
after joining in March.
Ridiculous. That says everything you need to know about the standard of striker we've had at Torquay United this season. That Reece Healy is markedly better than most players in the National League, I'd say. But to come in March and be our joint top scorer, that's ridiculous.
He's clearly a very talented player. He's very highly thought of at Cardiff, and you know he'll be playing at a reasonable standard next year. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
And we can claim him to be one of our own as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Put him in your fancy teams when Cardiff in the Premier League next season. So on a slightly more positive note, Joseph Pope has been in touch with the podcast. If you didn't know, Joe has been organising the Damon Lathrow fundraiser that is taking place on the 6th of May. This looks to be a great day out for fans looking to raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, and if you're considering going to Playmore, there are some things you should know. There's no ticket cost on the day, but donations on the door. Loads of raffle prizes, including signed balls and boots. And doors open at Playmore at 1 o'clock. And if anyone is interested in donating prizes, they can contact Joe at jptufc@gmail.com.
Can we have that email address one more time for people that are interested in
that? That's jptufc@gmail.com.
So that's the 6th of May. Doors open at 1 p.m. Get yourself down there and help out Damon Lathrop as he enters the next stage of his career. I hope to be down there. Ryan might be along as well. He's not sure at the moment, but at least we can have a nice weekend for Torquay fans. Anyway.
A good day out. Raise some money for a good bloke.
Yeah, exactly. There. That's good. And the best of luck to Joe for organising that. So next up, we're going to talk about the retained list, which was released kind of straight after the game. Kind of straight after the game, wasn't it? You said they were all kind of lining up, waiting to speak to Gary Owers after the game.
Yeah, Owers, he wrapped up his interviews with the media and went straight into his office. It looked like he got all the players kind of lined up in the corridor one by one, like a headmaster of a school.
Like they're all in trouble as well.
Yeah. I think all the lone players kind of went in first because I think they all kind of knew their futures and whatnot. So I think it was more of a thank you and see you later kind of deal with them.
Yeah.
And then the real talks really kind of got going with your senior players and your contracted ones.
Okay. Oh, as Ryan nudges his microphone there. See, this is the last one of the season, so you got to take a bit of that. So we'll run through the retained list here, in case you have missed it. I doubt anyone's missed it. But in terms of released, we've got Conrad Balotone is off on his bike. Rhys Mitchell, Sam Chaney, Jan Klakowski and Jake Gosling are released. We're going to talk about them in detail in a minute. Transfer listed trio of players who have a contract into next season but will now find themselves on the transfer list of Gowling, Clark and Pittman. New terms have been offered to Luke Young, Brett Williams, Sean McGinty, Rory Keating, Liam Davis and Vincent Durrell. And there's a slight side note of the club discussing terms with Sokolic and Neil Osborne. We'll talk about the released players first. Any idea who Reece Mitchell is?
He is a winger who joined the club way back when. I think he was one of the first players to join when I was coming on a non-contract deal. A pacey winger who's been around, floating around Football League clubs and just hasn't got a look in.
Honestly, I run a Talk United podcast, and when he was in that list, I was like, that's a typo. We haven't got a Reece Mitchell here.
I think he's made about two appearances.
Okay, so we can understand why he's been released. Conrad Balotone, who's played a good number of minutes under ours, has also found himself out the door. A defender famed for his lack of pace, not least on this podcast. Do you agree with that one?
I think I was surprised a little bit, actually. I thought he might be one that is kept on.
Particularly with the... They're going to discuss terms with Sokolic, but not with Balotone.
Yeah, that's a bit of a sideways one for me. I'd do it the other way around.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. I'd look, Balotone, yeah, he does have a lack of pace, but he has played at an all right standard. Look, I may have let them both go, to be honest, such as being our season. Sam Chaney has also found himself out the door, started the season as starting left back, ended the season on loan at Whitehawk, I believe, but he's gone. For me personally, this is one that will probably get a few people's backs up, but I think I would have kept Chaney around just because he's a technical player and we don't have many kind of technique-based players. I don't think he's the type of player ours and Kewell will like, because he's not big, he's not broad, he's not going to win you the ball back. But what he does have is that bit of technique, that little hint of ability of unlocking defences. That's why I would have been tempted to keep him around. Where are you on Chaney?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because he's a player that's been around for a while. When you actually look at the squad, not many have managed to do that.
Yeah.
What I would say is I don't think he's had much of a look in at Whitehawk. I don't think he's got loads of game time there.
Yeah.
And also, take a look at what happened with Jake Gosling this season. If you can compare Chaney to anyone in the squad, technically it's Jake Gosling.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And Gosling's just not had a look in either, hence why he's also been released. So I just don't think there was a place for him in the team.
Is this just ours not liking players who play primarily with their technique as opposed to their physicality?
Yeah, I think there's just... I don't know where you play him in the team. And I don't...
Well, we don't but
I'm thing not is, 100% sure Sam Chaney knows either. Because I think he's just a player that's kind
what
of...
What his natural position is.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of comparisons with him with when Eunan Okain was first breaking through here, in that Okain used to play out on the left and he'd play out on the right and he'd play behind the striker. And then only once he'd garnered all that experience everywhere else was he trusted with a place in the centre of midfield. And you always felt like there was that kind... Not quite to the same standard of Okain, who was a class act, but... Chaney had that same kind of play style, if you understand what I mean.
I think at this level, the problem with a player like that is you need to kind of build the team around him, especially in a central midfield role.
And do you do that with someone like Sam Chaney?
It's a very big investment, should you say, to do that. And I don't think that's something that ours or Cool would have been particularly interested in.
Yeah, okay, so he's out. Jan Klikowski and Jake Gosling were the other two on the list. Gosling is another one who's divided fans quite a bit, because no one listens to legacy episodes of Talking Torquay, but right at the start of the season we were both talking about Gosling as being the player Nicholson picked to be our creator in chief. That has not worked in the slightest, has it?
No, real shame. He's struggled with injuries this season a lot, and then since the change of manager he's not been able to find a way back into the team. I remember watching the pre-season games, and I know it's hard to tell from those, but he looked a cut above just through technical ability alone. A real shame to see it not work out for him, because I do think he's a talented player. He's an international footballer, for God's sake. He must have something about him.
Yeah, all right, for Gibraltar.
Still.
Let's just wind that in. Where next for him then? Do you think a National League club takes a punt on him?
I think someone will eventually. If he can prove his fitness and knock off some injury troubles that he's had, I do think there's an element of him being a bit of a luxury player, like your Sam Chan.
You wonder if he's not. I have no inside information whatsoever. But you wonder if he's not putting in the effort on the training pitch to be that out of favour with ours.
Yeah, we don't know.
You got to ask questions like that, though.
That could be an element into it, but I think there is, like I said, an element of him being a little bit of a luxury player. And I think if you're playing well and your system suits it, he'll pop up with the odd goal and pull in the old assist here and there. But
yeah,
when you're down there and fighting, you kind of need someone a bit more.
Yeah. Okay. And Klikowski out is one I think we all saw coming. The transfer listed trio, then, as I called them, of Gowling, Clark, and Pittman. People doubted us when we said they had deals for next season, but we thought Pittman did and Clark did, and they did.
They all had 2-year deals.
Yeah.
But
Pittman has to go down as Nicholson's biggest error in the off season, doesn't he?
I think so.
Because you got the feeling when he signed Pittman that he wanted him to be the one to score the goals. And what's he got? 2-3 maybe?
Yeah, just a couple to his name. And it's a real shame that it's not worked out, because I do think there's a...
Well, you were saying on the way here that you thought he was one of the best finishers in terms of natural finishers.
At the club, I would put him up there as one of the best finishers in the strikers that we do have.
But it's just a shame we never get him in that position.
It looks like injuries have got the better of him this season, and he's just not been able to find a way in a team. And when you haven't played, all season, it's very hard to justify, trying to keep him at the club.
Experienced glovesman Clark out the door as well, or transfer listed at least for now. I have a whiff of that being more about having two keepers on a senior wage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I think this depends on keeping Durrell. If you keep Durrell, I don't think you really need Clark as a backup in the National League South.
No.
There's an element of wage control here, so yeah, I think it's
understandable, although it has to be said again that he was a player we were both talking about as being an impressive one earlier in the season, at least when everything was going wrong. He was standing up to be counted and produced some fine displays, to be fair.
Yeah, really. Well, I think he got man of the match in sort of our first 5 or 6 matches.
Yeah.
And a really good run of form, but then another
injuries,
one.
Injuries.
Yeah, but that comes with the territory when you sign these experienced players.
Speaking of injuries, Gowling, another one on the transfer list. Another player who has divided fans left and right. And I would say Gowling is one who probably divided fans 50-50, with some saying, look, he's our best defender, and the other half saying, he's never fit. If you were in charge on Football Manager, as we've done for Torquay United, where did Gowling go for you after that season?
It would be a big risk to keep him on. You'd imagine he's probably one of the higher earners in the squad. So to take a player that you can't guarantee you're going to get 25, 30 games out of a season
is a
humongous risk. I don't doubt for a minute he's the club's best defender.
I completely agree.
I think he is by a mile. But he'll tell you himself. He seems like a nice guy that he's struggled with injuries this season.
And there, again, we don't know anything, but there's rumours of a slight rift between ours and Gowling, and you feel like a personality issue has come into play maybe with that decision a little bit. So that's Gowling, Clark and Pittman on the transfer list. New contracts. The main surprise with the retained list is probably how many he's offered contracts to, considering how much ours has complained about the team that Nicholson left him. Luke Young was left for him, McGinty was left for him, Keating, Davis, Durrell wasn't. But so, Young, McGinty, Keating, Davis were all here for Nicholson, and he's offered them deals, along with Williams and Durrell. Would you have offered all of those new contracts? I suppose the main question mark on those is Williams and Keating.
I think they're offered in hope more than expectation. I think if you can get all of those players to re-sign, great. I think I said something similar on social media over the weekend, that those would leave us with a really strong core for the National League staff, which they would. But it's whether or not you can get those deals done.
It's as I said a few weeks ago, that the real test of ours is now whether players who, we've had a bad season as Talk United, players who have played under him already, do they want to play for him again? This will be the real acid test, I think, for what the players think of his management. Whether the likes of McGinty fancies it under ours for another season, or whether he's happy to chance his arm at getting a deal somewhere else. Because I think if you absolutely enjoyed working under the manager, if you believed in the manager, you'd stay on. Particularly at this level, where it's not a guarantee that you get other clubs coming in for you. So it's really, these next few weeks are really important for showing what the players maybe think of the management they've received this season, and if they want to hang around for next season. I think you said on Twitter as well, the retain list isn't that far away from what I would have liked to see. I can see McGinty staying around. He's a good last-ditch defender. Davis has been quality. But I do have severe doubts on how many of these would accept deals with us for next season, because I'd assume as well they'll be on reduced terms.
Yeah, there's six names that have been offered. I think two or three, I think you've got a serious chance of keeping. And then I think there's a couple more, a few names that have just been offered in hope or given them something until they, until they find something else. That's the harsh reality of the situation. That they'll all have people sniffing around for deals and clubs elsewhere in this next sort of week or two.
Well, we're talking about that. So a lot of fans are saying we need to go for the jugular and get Elliot Romain back permanently for next season. I know my opinions on that. Do you know yours?
I'd take Elliot Romain in a heartbeat.
I'm saying yes, we'd take him. I'm also saying there is no chance of him coming back here next season.
Yeah, this is a striker that has been chomping at the bit to get a chance in the National League. And he's stepped up with Torquay and done reasonably well. With that comes the territory that probably the bottom half or bottom six of the National League will all be looking at.
I would go as far as to say the bottom half. They'll all be taking a look at a player who scored some goals for a struggling team and is a rare player that's coming out of a relegated team season with a little bit of credit to his name. I would genuinely say the bottom half of the National League will be taking a look at Elliot Romain, and we are not an attractive proposition for him.
No, I think financially we could probably match wages, but we're playing in the National League South, and you can bet your bottom dollar his agent's going to be on the phone,
yeah,
ringing all these clubs and saying, look, we've got a player here who can score you 5 or 10 goals a season.
So if you're wondering after all that chat about the retained list, where we are in terms of current playing staff for next season, that is Jamie Reid under contract and not transfer listed. That is the only player we have in the squad for next season, which I'm sure is going to delight Yellow's Twitter.
He could do all roles, let's face it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stick him in goal.
Yeah, no, he'll be fine. This next bit we're going to brush over a little bit because Ryan's done the running order this week and has written transfers and areas for improvement. And I do want to quickly run through what he's written down in the running order there because it's good. With the retained list taken into consideration, we're going to take a look at the areas we need to improve on and where we need to strengthen this summer. So that's, just bear in mind that we've got Reid under contract. So Ryan's written here, goalkeeper, centre-back, left-back, right-back, centre-mid, wingers, strikers.
The whole squad.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, you haven't really given me anything to go on in terms of the running order.
I'll explain myself a bit. I wanted to break it down.
into every position.
Into the positions, and then started writing it, and quickly became apparent that, oh, okay, I'm writing out every position here. So I thought, I'm just going to run with it.
No, yeah. Well, to be fair, we might not need a goalkeeper if we get Durrell, but I'm not sure whether he'll sign on again. I imagine he'll have some interested parties higher up the pyramid for him. But the point is, it's going to be a clean slate for ours, isn't it? This the whole squad, bar Jamie Reid, is their future's up for discussion. Ours has no excuses now.
No, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a completely, I think, new look squad this time next year. Who knows where we'll be? I think that it's, whether fans like it or not, it's a manager could only dream of having this opportunity.
Yeah,
to go down and rebuild.
He's now dropping into a league where are we the only professional club? We'll be one of the only professional clubs in the
National
League.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to hazard a guess, but one of few, I imagine.
It's the lowest league we've ever dropped into, and he's now got a clean slate and a bit of budget behind him. It's fair to say, compared to other clubs at that level, anyway. And the profile of the club, you'd hope that might tempt a few people. That may be a little bit generous to say that, but he's got every advantage now. So if he's going to prove me wrong, now's the time to do it in the off season with some big signings. Get me excited about the next campaign, even if I'm a little bit underwhelmed as to how it's gone so far.
One thing that stuck with me on Saturday afternoon when I was speaking to Owls after the game, he said that he knows that the fans are unhappy. He knows what's being said. He knows what he's hearing it all. So don't you worry. He's not getting.
He's aware of the discontent, isn't he? Yeah.
I think he can get the fans back on board. We start winning a few games, fans will come back through the doors. It's as simple as that.
Well, and it is ludicrously important that he has a good off-season in terms of signings. A trial game, I believe, is happening next Tuesday with 22 players coming along for hours to have a look at. So he's clearly on it, and he's got to be on it.
And what you get with the National League South is you get the opportunity to pick up a few hidden gems in that league that can really get the fans excited.
If they want to come to a professional club, though, the difficulty is when you're a part-timer at that level, you're earning a few quid on a Saturday playing for Truro, but you're also picking up a full wage in the week. So if you sign on with Torquay, you're probably talking a wage reduction, believe it or not, which I think might surprise a lot of fans.
It's the million-dollar question.
But then you're selling you can be a professional footballer here. So it can go either way, but it'll be an interesting one to see who Owls manages to get through the door over the summer. But I think we've probably covered that. Anything else you wanted to say on the old retained list?
No, I think it's a overall. I think it's a good base. I think I don't know how you can say good base when you've got one player signed on, but if you can get a couple of the deals that have been offered over the line,
yeah.
I think Darrell would be a great signing if we can get it.
Yeah,
I think Keating would have a part to play next season.
Davis, without a doubt, I'd love to stay on. I just don't see it happening.
No, I don't. I'd imagine a lot of National League clubs will be looking at him as well. But I think if you can get a couple of those over line, McGinty, I think would be an excellent signing. But whether you can keep him, I don't know.
Mm.
I think there's stuff to play with there.
Okay, stuff to play with. Don't say we don't give you nice phrases at Talking Torquay. We're going to talk about just a little word for the podcast for next season. We're not sure if we're podcasting next season as of yet. Ryan's secured himself gainful employment for next season. We're both university students, but Steve Dixon's unemployed. So if there's any interested parties out there, feel free to slide into my DMs.
Or if someone wants to host the podcast with me, we're shunning you out the door maybe if you're on the dole.
Well, that's fine if they laugh a lot less than I do, although you keep nudging into your microphone. So
apologies.
Yeah, look, I tell you what, we'll sell the podcast.
If anyone wants to buy it, yeah, feel free.
You get a hell of a brand behind you. You've got to make Jamie Reid and Rory Fallon jokes, and that's the only terms of the deal. So, yeah, we're not sure what's happening next season. We hope to be able to do it. Depends where I'm based. Anyone wants to offer me a job, feel free. That's the first time I might get something out of this podcast financially, if someone offers me a job out of it.
If you ask the question long enough, I'm sure something will pop up.
Yeah, if Rory's listening, I'll take a job at his ice cream firm.
Oh, you could do social media for his ice cream firm.
Done. Sold. That dream job. I'll be outside Playmore every Saturday with an ice cream scoop. So just before we zoom off into the off season, I thought I'd ask Ryan if there's any highlights from doing the podcast this season. Any at all?
A few.
Okay.
Well, you can't have many highlights in a season like this. But the one that stands out for me is the Paul Cox incident.
Incident.
Right. Now,
well, we spent about 10 minutes talking about our upcoming game against Barrow, was it?
I believe, yeah.
And I spent a good chunk of time saying how Paul Cox would have them well drilled.
Now, normally, you know, we're not professionals at this, but we think we've done all right. Most podcasts would, you know, they'll be able to edit out a few a minute or two if they make a mistake. But we spent a good 10 minutes previewing the Barrow match.
Just about Paul Cox. We didn't even speak about anyone else.
But you went in on Paul Cox. You were delving into his tactics and the rest of it.
We spent ages on that and we put it out. And then almost the first comment we got was Paul Cox isn't at Barrow. He was sacked months ago. Oh.
Oops.
Was he? Oh, that's cool. Nice podcast. I have some genuine highlights. I think Martin Gritton was a really good interview. I thought
really good insight from him.
Jim Proudfoot, so good to hear from him. A man who clearly cares a lot about Torquay United. Even last week, hearing from Michel Thomas, just a little glimpse into Tust there. Who else have we had on the pod? We've had loads of people on the pod. Chris Hargreaves we had on the pod.
Chris Hargreaves and how he likes his
Brussels
sprouts
dinner. Yeah, we had Luke Young right at the start of the season, which was good as well. A little insight from him. We didn't manage to get any other Torquay players throughout the season, maybe for obvious reasons.
Well, because Luke Young said that the club were aiming for playoffs, but never mind.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. after one of the first episodes we did, I like being called out online for my laugh, which has stayed with the podcast throughout the season, which has annoyed many people and alienated many listeners. But in that very same comment, they said it was I can't even remember who it was, but it was Stephen's laugh's a bit annoying, but that Ryan's a class act. And just saying that Ryan's a class act right at the end, that just twists that knife a little bit more.
And I won't let him forget it.
No, we've been talking about it all season. Every podcast, I'm like, you're right there, Ryan. You class act, you little bastard. And there we have it. That is our first season at Talking Torquay. Is it our last one? Who knows?
Stay tuned.
It's fair to say it's not what we expected when we started the podcast. I think we were both talking about a top half finish. So we're both quite experts there. We'd like to thank everyone for the support you've shown the podcast during the season. We've managed to create a nice little audience here, even when the club has been going through this tough time. So until next time, it's goodbye from Ryan.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.